This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, and when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, FM, and satellites. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Winter takes its last breaths. The sun comes back to life and the earth gradually warms up. Trees awaken from their winter slumber and nature bursts forth in a symphony of vibrant colors. Spring is just around the corner. Everyone seems happy and full of hope. It is time to say goodbye to the cold season of the year and welcome a time marked by festivities across the country. During this beautiful transition, the people of Iran begin their preparations for Nowruz. Meaning New Day, this national festival is an ideal time for relaxation and rejuvenation, reconnecting with loved ones, traveling to breathtaking destinations, taking refuge in nature, and truly savoring life. This season grants everyone a precious opportunity to recharge their batteries for the year ahead. Yet, there is more about Nowruz, a festival with its roots in time immemorial. On the eve of the last Wednesday before Nowruz, Iranians traditionally celebrate Charshanbe Suri. People gather in neighborhoods to light bonfires made from wood and twigs. Participants jump over the flames while chanting Zardi man az to, Surkhi to az man, which translates to "My paleness is yours, your redness is mine." This chant symbolizes the hope for health and vitality in the new year. Setting off firecrackers and fireworks is a common practice to symbolically ward off evil spirits and announce the arrival of the new year with joy. Music, dancing, and singing often accompany the festivities, creating a lively atmosphere. The central message of Charshanbe Suri revolves around renewal and hope. It embodies themes of purification and the triumph of light over darkness. Welcome to Gulistan Palace, a UNESCO World Heritage Site in the heart of Tehran, where history and culture come together to celebrate Nowruz, the Persian New Year. Nowruz, signaling the arrival of spring, is not just a celebration of nature's renewal, but also a reflection of Iran's rich heritage as well. Join us as we explore the significance of this beautiful festival and what it means to the people of Iran today. As the last moments of the old year fade away, families across Iran gather in their homes, ready to welcome the much-anticipated arrival of Nowruz, the Persian New Year. The air is filled with a palpable sense of excitement and hope as loved ones come together around the beautifully arranged haftseen table, which is a symbol of renewal and abundance. The haftseen table is meticulously set with seven symbolic items, each starting with a Persian letter seen, representing different aspects of life. Sabze, sprouted wheat or lentils symbolizing rebirth and growth. Samanu, a sweet pudding made from sprouted wheat representing power and strength. Senjed, dried fruit of the oleaster tree symbolizing love. Serke, vinegar representing patience and wisdom. Sir, garlic symbolizing health and protection against evil. Sib, apples representing beauty and health. Somak, sumac berries symbolizing the sunrise and the triumph of good over evil. Alongside these, other elements such as a mirror, hyacinth, and coins are placed on the table, each carrying its significance. The declaration of the new year in Iran is not merely a change in time, it is a heartfelt ritual that encapsulates hope, love, and the promise of new beginnings. Surrounded by traditions and the spirit of renewal, each household becomes a part of a greater tapestry woven throughout the country, connecting all Iranians in a celebration of life and the beauty of new possibilities. Dr. Mostafa Pourali from Iran's Ministry of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts explained why Nowruz truly qualifies as a national festival. As a national festival, what do you think are some of the social and cultural functions of Nowruz?
نوروز همون جوری که در پرونده ثبت میراث ناملموس جهانیش هم مورد تایید یونسکو قرار گرفته.
Nowruz transcends ethnic, religious and ideological differences. It serves as a unifying element among all our ethnic groups. In fact, it doesn't matter when the moment of the new year arrives. There's no distinction between Kurds, Lors, Gilaks, Arabs, Baluches and Persians. Everyone celebrates Nowruz. The same applies to the tradition of giving iftar during Ramadan. Even though iftar is associated with Ramadan, those who provide iftar do so for everyone, regardless of whether the recipient is fasting or not, or whether they're Muslim or not. What is important is the tradition of generosity and doing good deeds. When we talk about the cultural heritage of Iran, these are the elements that constitute it.
Nowruz has been celebrated for over 3,000 years, rooted in ancient Persian traditions. Here at the Gulistan Palace, the echoes of history remind us how this festival transcends time, uniting generations. Nowruz is not just a holiday, it's a celebration of culture and identity, embraced by all Iranians, regardless of their background. Almost a week before the new year, we were strolling around the palace, captivated by its grandeur, when we stumbled upon a gathering of people relishing a duet. The performers were reciting verses from the Shahnameh, the epic masterpiece by Ferdowsi, one of the greatest poets of this land, whose work is deeply entwined with the themes of Iranian identity and heritage. What struck us was the abundant references to Nowruz throughout the Shahnameh, celebrating it as a festival of the Iranian nation.
Nowruz has been, is, and will continue to be as long as there exists a land called Iran on earth. This ancient festival connects the hearts of us Iranians. When Nowruz arrives, we visit each other, clean our homes, wear new clothes, and welcome freshness, light, and life.
Mohammad Reza Majuni, an Iranian naqqad or epic storyteller, told us about the mythological origins of Nowruz.
گرانمایه جمشید فرزند او یعنی فرزند تحمورس دیوبند.
King Jamshid ascended to the throne after his father, King Tahmuras, and brought forth a plethora of innovations and inventions over the centuries, ranging from iron extraction and the creation of weapons to the development of clothing and the establishment of occupational groups, including four categories: priests, warriors, farmers, and artisans. He even crafted a throne that he would sit on and carried by demons, ascend to the sky. When King Jamshid completed all his good deeds, the people of the world gathered around him, brings various gifts, and they celebrated with joy and happiness. King Jamshid named that day Nowruz and thus laid the foundation for the Nowruz festival.
As we listened, one of the singers infused the performance with a modern melody brimming with patriotic fervor, weaving together the historical significance of Shahnameh with the contemporary expressions of love for Iran. As is tradition, shortly after the new year begins, Iranian TV channels air a speech by the leader of the Islamic Revolution. In this address, the leader reflects on the highlights of the past year and outlines the direction the country should take in the upcoming year. Additionally, he designates a theme for the new year, emphasizing a key priority for the nation. This year, for instance, the leader has named it Investment for Production in response to the country's specific circumstances.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
This year, just like the past couple of years, the occurrence of Nowruz alongside Ramadan provides a unique opportunity for reflection and gratitude. As families celebrate the joys of the new year, they also observe the holy month of fasting. The juxtaposition of Nowruz's jubilant festivities with the spiritual solemnity of Ramadan invites Iranians to have both joy and contemplation.
This year, Nowruz coincides with the holy month of Ramadan. In other words, we Iranians are celebrating our national festival, Nowruz, at the same time as we're fasting, observing a religious obligation. It's interesting to note that last year, we registered the file for the global recognition of iftar and the social and cultural traditions associated with it in UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List, in collaboration with several other countries. This means that the Ministry of Cultural Heritage has registered both Nowruz, which is a national element, and iftar, which is a religious one, on a global scale. The coincidence of these two provides a great opportunity to promote both. One of the good ideas that my colleagues have in mind for this year's Nowruz table is to adorn it with some elements from iftar tables and add certain sweets traditionally served during iftar. The Ministry of Cultural Heritage has also suggested a central slogan for this season: the Crescent of Nowruz, Nowruz in Ramadan, Iranian heritage. The harmonious coexistence of these two national and religious ceremonies is truly a cultural heritage of Iran that is being well preserved.
This unique overlap encourages a harmonious blending of joy and contemplation, inviting individuals to appreciate the blessings of a new beginning while embracing the deeper significance of their faith. The lively celebrations of Nowruz, marked by colorful gatherings, traditional dishes, and the exchange of well wishes, seamlessly complement the solemnity of Ramadan, where self-discipline and introspection take center stage. This dual celebration encourages Iranians to cherish their cultural heritage and spiritual values. For Iranians, these celebrations are not mutually exclusive, but rather complementary. They often find ways to celebrate the new year while observing the fast, creating a dialogue between festivity and spirituality. This synthesis of cultural and religious practices illustrates the rich Iranian identity. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on the first day of the new year. As a national festival, Nowruz serves multiple functions. It's a time for celebration, a moment for reflection, and an opportunity to strengthen familial and social bonds. Here at Golestan Palace, surrounded by splendor, we can truly appreciate the festival's role in fostering social harmony and cultural exchange. This Nowruz, as we welcome the first day of spring and the blessings of Ramadan, let's celebrate the beauty of unity and diversity. May the new year bring health, peace, and joy for all. Nowruz is not only a celebration of spring, but also a powerful element in public diplomacy. As an intangible cultural heritage recognized by UNESCO in 2010, it holds the potential to promote understanding, cooperation, and connection among diverse nations and communities. We had a conversation with Dr. Alireza Delkhosh, currently serving as Iran's ambassador to Sri Lanka and the Maldives. He provided valuable insights into public diplomacy and its connection to Nowruz. How do you assess the role of Nowruz in fostering public diplomacy in the region?
Diplomacy umumi yek shive novini az diplomacy.
Public diplomacy is a novel approach to diplomacy. It refers to a set of efforts and activities undertaken by government or institutions to communicate and influence public opinion in other countries. Its aim is to improve the national image, raise awareness of culture and values, and foster positive relationships with foreign people and media. In this light, Nowruz can be seen as a tool in the hands of public diplomacy. Nowruz can serve as a bridge connecting nations. The nations that celebrate Nowruz focus on their cultural commonalities rather than geographical, political, or ethnic divisions. The Nowruz celebration that these nations observe simultaneously, along with traditions that share many similarities, has allowed Nowruz to create a cultural geography composed of various countries, bringing nations closer together in the simplest way possible.
Nowruz transcends national borders, celebrated by various ethnic groups across the West Asia region, Central Asia, the Caucasus, and beyond. This shared heritage provides a unique platform for cultural exchange, inviting countries to engage in dialogue, share traditions, and explore common values. Can you tell us what other countries celebrate Nowruz other than Iran?
Many countries around the world celebrate Nowruz. Officially, it is recognized in 13 countries: Iran, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, India, Uzbekistan, Azerbaijan, Iraq, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, and Turkey. However, it is worth mentioning that in other countries, while not all people, many groups do celebrate Nowruz, ranging from India and China to Balkan nations like Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Moreover, the themes of renewal and hope inherent in Nowruz can serve as a foundation for peace-building initiatives. The holiday emphasizes the importance of harmony and friendship, making it an ideal occasion for diplomacy aimed at fostering better relations between nations, especially in regions experiencing conflict. Events and festivals celebrating Nowruz can also facilitate grassroots diplomacy. By organizing cultural events, workshops, and community gatherings, nations can create opportunities for citizens to interact, learn from each other, and cultivate mutual respect and understanding.
The message of Nowruz is undoubtedly one of peace and friendship. Just as the United Nations has designated a day to celebrate Nowruz, this festival does not solely belong to Iran and this region. In fact, Nowruz belongs to humanity. Everyone should celebrate it, and if some countries do not observe it,
It may be because they are unaware of it. Nowruz truly promotes nothing but peace and friendship among individuals and among nations.
This ancient festival can easily attract visitors and therefore can promote cultural tourism. Countries can use this holiday to showcase their unique customs, cuisine, and traditions, thus enhancing bilateral relations through economic cooperation in areas like tourism, trade, and cultural industries.
My next question is regarding foreign tourists. Do you have any specific recommendations for them visiting Iran during the Nowruz celebrations?
In our national development program, there has been special attention to tourism. The overall policy is to provide better hosting for foreign tourists so that they leave the country with greater satisfaction and more pleasant memories. My suggestion to tourists coming from abroad is not to limit themselves to a few famous cities in Iran like Shiraz and Isfahan, which are indeed jewels of our history and civilization, but to explore the many attractive cultural and natural areas that remain unknown to tourists. It would be a pity for them to come to Iran and miss visiting these regions, which range from Hyrcanian forests in the north, registered as a UNESCO World Heritage Site, to the caravanserais scattered throughout Iran, some of which date back hundreds of years, and are also included in the UNESCO World Heritage List. By the way, these caravanserais are located in 24 provinces across the country. By visiting various and sometimes lesser-known areas, tourists can have a richer and more unique experience during their travels in Iran.
In Iran, the Nowruz holidays span 13 days. On the 13th day of the new year, known as Sizebedar, literally meaning getting rid of the 13th in Farsi, Iranians traditionally go outdoors to appreciate nature and enjoy picnics. It's common to bring along the sabzeh, sprouted wheat or lentils, from the half-seen table and throw it into flowing water, symbolizing the disposal of bad luck. A charming custom associated with this day involves young, single individuals, particularly girls, tying up leaves from the greenery before discarding it as a hopeful gesture for finding a partner. As Nowruz draws to a close, Iranians transition from the vibrant celebrations of the new year back to their daily routines, rejuvenated and full of energy. Mr. Majuni reminiscent about his childhood experiences during Nowruz, emphasizing the importance of preserving the festival's rituals.
پدرم هر زمان هر ساعتی از شبان روز که موقع هنگام سال تحویل بود ما رو بیدار میکرد.
Every year when the new year arrived, even if it was midnight, my father would wake us all and say we should sit around the half-seen table. Then he would hug us, congratulate us on the new year and give us our gifts. I will never forget the memories of Nowruz from my childhood. A season of joy, laughter, games, visiting friends and family, evening festivities, and reading the Shahnameh. Nowruz, with all its customs and traditions, has become an inseparable part of our identity as Iranians. It's something we become familiar with in childhood and grew up with. Nowruz is our national heritage, and it must be passed down from generation to generation, just as it has been until now.
That's all for today. Thank you. On behalf of everyone at Iran Today, I wish you a happy Nowruz and a year full of health, wealth, and prosperity. Bye for now.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
O light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. And you are listening to the program, The Last Savior, which is about the Imam of Time, Imam al-Zamana, Jalla Hatala Faraja, And in this program, we give you more and more information about the Imam of Time. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who dies and is ignorant about the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant. And the hadith that we discussed in the beginning of the program is also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, to explore more on the topic of Ma'taviyat, we have a special guest in the studio, Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, in the previous episodes, we talked about Dajjal and we discussed it in detail. However, one of the things is that Dajjal is not a definite sign of reappearance. So, we also want to know about the emergence of Sufyani, which is actually a definite sign of a reappearance, according to many narrations. So from you again, we would like to know about Sufyani. Is again Sufyani like a personality, an entity, a phenomenon, or what?
As you rightly mentioned, Sufyani is out of one of the five events or inevitable or definite events at the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam that happens in the area of Sham, or what is known today as Levant region. According to a narration from Imam Rida alayhi salam, the emergence of Mahdi will not occur without the emergence of Sufyani. In other narrations, again, after ruling the Levant for 9 months,
yeah,
that is Sufyani, Sufyani marches towards Medina and sinks into the ground at a place called Bayda. Sufyani is mentioned in Shia and Sunni resources, and we have all these narrations available from different schools of thought in from the Islamic denominations. But the descriptions that has been made on him is a sort of a merciless person, a person who causes lots of bloodshed among the people, and people are frightened from even seeing at his face.
All right.
And there are some names mentioned for him and for his destiny. So what is the reason that he is known as Sufyani is due to the explanations and descriptions that we have in Hadith that he is from the descendants of Abu Sufyan. We have a narration from one of the infallibles that says that we're from two tribes. Sufyanis are from Abu Sufyan, who were against religion, who were against righteousness, who were against righthood. And we are from the descendants of the Holy Prophet, who came to spread justice and the word of truth among the people. We have seen the treatment of Abu Sufyan with the Holy Prophet, the way that he opposed Islam and the promotion of Islam and development of Islam, the same way happened at the time of his son Muawiyah, next by as another person from his descendants by the name of Yazid.
Yeah.
The way that treated Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and the way that they treated Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and their descendants, whose name would be Anbasa, will be in front of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Yes.
So this is a brief description of what we have heard of Sufyani. But again, in the concept of Sufyani, like the way that we have described Dajjal, there is a sort of, there is again a possibility of him being as a movement, or let's say as a perspective that has the same features and characteristics that Abu Sufyan had in front of the Holy Prophet.
Right. So let's take a short break here and we will get back.
Hold me by your hand and please show me the way to be one of the pure and chosen companions, so that I can swear the oath of allegiance. I'll give everything that I love in God's name to avenge the blood of your grandfather Hussein. Every step of the way, my dream will come true. On my last breath, oh Master, I'll call out to you. O Light of Allah, you are my true guide. I'm waiting for you to die by your side.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. And today we are exploring the concept of Sufyani. We are exploring that. For now, we said Sufyani is going to be among the descendants of Abu Sufyan and will rule Syria. So we said, like, as Abu Sufyan, his ideology, his thoughts and his actions were Maybe Sufyani, if it's a movement, its actions are going to be the same. Yes, Dr. Alawi.
We want to say that in another series of hadith, that it indicates that Sufyani is not unique to one individual, but rather it could be, again, referred to specific traits or programs that many individuals have embodied throughout history. So the same characteristics, the same traits that Sufyani or Abu Sufyan or the children of Abu Sufyan had at right. that time. So this is, again, this possibility exists. So it becomes quite clear that Sufyani has a sort of descriptive aspect rather than a personal one. The same way that we have defined Dajjal.
Right.
So again, what we are saying is just sort of we're talking about possibilities and probabilities. It's not that quite common. We want to say this aspect is also available.
Yeah.
It could be understood and derived from the narrations that we have also these interpretations from the hadith. So what made Abu Sufyan as Sufyani, or what this person as Sufyani, what traits did they have? How did they actually treat the Holy Prophet? How did they work in front of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his children? So if we understand those elements or those traits, then we can have a better judgment about the Sufyani himself.
Right.
That in case a person, a group, a movement had these characteristics, though, we can judge that this person or this group or this let's say party or this country is representing Sufyani.
Right.
We know that Abu Sufyan was the head of Sufyani dynasty and had of these characteristics that we are talking about now. He was a capitalist and had reached fame through plundering and usurping the rights of others.
Yeah.
And usury and the like. So these were the characteristics of this person. Second, he was a powerful man who gained influence and power through satanic means and assumed the role of leading the ignorant parties in Mecca and its surroundings. So when the Holy Prophet brought this beautiful and pure Islamic teachings, he stood in front of those teachings.
Yeah.
And his entire personality was assumed up in these two characteristics and these two that we're talking about. Before the advent of Islam, whatever he did, he had a sort of considerable presidency and government for himself. And after the advent of Islam, that all the pillars of his power were shaken. So
right.
there was a sort of danger that he felt that it will,
there was
it
a
will
collapse.
Make a problem for him. The third right. feature and the third trait of Sufyani was that he was considered as the embodiment of the oppressive system of Mecca's class society, and his unwavering support for idols and idolatry was also due to this, because idols were the best means to sow discord and rule. This is a quite famous technique that is being used, discord and rule.
Let's take a short break here. Let's give a pause to our discussion and we'll be back in a while.
مهديون في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to The Last Savior. We have Dr. Ali Alawi, and we are discussing about Sufyani. Well, we said Sufyani, who, whether it's a person, an entity, or a movement, it's going to have the characteristics of Abu Sufyan, or if it's going to be a person, it's going to be among the descendants of Abu Sufyan. And just to know about the characteristics of Sufyani, we're going back to Abu Sufyan. What kind of a personality he was. So he was a capitalist. He had fame through plundering and usurping, and he gained power through unlawful means. He was the embodiment of oppressive systems, and idols were used as a technique for discord and rule. Yes, Dr. Levy.
So these are the three traits and characteristics of Abu Sufyan or Sufyanis. Who is going to be Sufyani and who will come at the time of advent of Imam Ali Salah? Who will appear at the time of advent of Imam Ali Salah? So he was a capitalist person that through plundering he was gaining money. Second, he was a powerful person, but he got his power from satanic sources.
Right.
And third, he was misusing the gaps between different classes of society. And
through, the divisions.
Through discord and rule, he was actually using the power that he gained already.
Right.
So he had power. So he was in favor of power. But Islam stopped his power. It stopped people from obeying him.
Yes.
So Islam was inviting people to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than this satanic symbol. But we see that Imam alayhi salam talks about this Sufyani that will emerge at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. In Sermon 138 of Nahj al-Balagha, Imam alayhi salam talks about some of the characteristics of this Sufyani that we are talking about today. That Imam says, كَأَنِّي بِهِ قَدْ نَعَقْ. That is, it is as if I see him shouting from Levant.
Okay.
And he has spread banners around Kufa. And وَفَحَسَ بِرَايَتِهِ فِي ضَوَاحِ كُفَان. Again, Imam continues and he says that, فَأَتَفَ عَلَيْهَا أَتْفَ الظُّرُوسِ. Meaning that, and it comes towards it like an angry and dangerous camel.
All right.
So these are the definitions that Imam Ali Islam tells us about the Sufyani.
Yeah.
The Sufyani who, which Sufyani are we talking about? The Sufyani of at the time of the dawn of Islam? No. The Sufyani who emerged at the time of Imam Mahdi.
Imam, yeah.
وَفَرَشَ الْأَرْضَ بِالرُّؤُوسِ. That is, he will kill plenty of people that the people will walk on the heads of the people. The heads that have been beheaded already. قَدْ فَغَرَدْ فَأَغْرِقْتُهُ. Imam says that it opens its mouth and swallows everything. So this is a person that swallows everything. By this means that he is not going to be full anytime. By full, it could be a metaphorical statement here that he wants to eat everything. He wants to eat up everything from the, let's say, treasuries of the world. He wants to, even in case it's from food, he wants to eat the whole of it. In case there is something that he exists in the world, he wants to take everything of it. His steps are heavy on the earth and he takes all religions under his influence. And his journey is vast. What does in ba'id al-jawla? That is, a large area would be under his control.
All right.
So these are the features, almost eight or nine features that Imam alayhi salam describes this person or this movement that we are talking about. Again, we shall reach to a conclusion that if this Sufyan is going to be a person or a movement or a phenomenon or something like this. So it means that this Sufyani will take a great part of the area in Syria, in Levant, and also in Iraq. And he will move from Levant to Iraq, and he will kill lots of people, so that the people will walk on the heads that have been beheaded already.
Yeah.
And his attack is massive. But finally, Imam alayhi salam says that, I swear you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam says that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will scatter you throughout the earth until none of you will remain except a few. Like the remnants of kuhl in the eye, like the remnants of usually ladies use this kuhl, which is being put in the eyes in order to make the eyes more healthy.
Yeah.
So, very few of you will alive. Very few of you stand alive. But again, Imam will give... Imam alayhi salam gives a solution. What to do in order to get rid of this calamity, this plight of Sufyani? Imam tells us again some solutions in order to cope with this satanic power of Sufyani.
Inshallah, we'll discuss those solutions in the upcoming episodes. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, dear listeners. This was all for today's episode. Have a nice time. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
Fruitful Moments with Arabi English Radio. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir. Log on to our website at iranradio.ir. World Quartz Day. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is the World Quartz Day, the day to chant the innocence of the Palestinians and the oppression and savagery of the fabricated Israeli regime and its equally ruthless supporters and partners in crime. In this program, we will discuss the significance of this fateful day, World Quartz Day. Stay with us. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is a day when Muslims and free-spirited people all over the world pour onto the streets of towns and cities across the world to support the Palestinian cause and the defenseless Palestinian people and sympathize with them against the brutal Israeli regime. The blessed month of Ramadan is a time to remember the oppressed and downtrodden in the world. The great martyr of this month, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says in his famous hadith to his elder son, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, "Be the enemy of the oppressor and the helper of the oppressed." This is, in fact, a call to all faithful and free-spirited people throughout history. The blessed month of Ramadan is the time to purify the soul and adorn it with godly characteristics. One of these characteristics is to help the weak and oppressed people everywhere as much as possible. The World Quds Day is the heritage of the great father of the Islamic Revolution, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. In 1979, the late Imam Khomeini announced the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as World Quds Day, and called on all Muslims throughout the world to make every effort they can to declare their support for the oppressed people of Palestine and set the ground for cutting off the hands of the Zionist regime from Palestine. The cause of Palestine was going to be completely forgotten, as then Prime Minister of the Israeli regime, Menachem Begin, and the former US President Jimmy Carter had signed the Camp David Accord with the betrayal of then Egyptian President Anwar Sadat in a bid to cast the sacred cause of Palestine into oblivion and pave the way for ultimate usurpation of Palestine. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, in fact, breathed a new spirit in the struggles against the Zionist regime. Thus, the World Quds Day turned into a nightmare ever since for the Zionists and its equally criminal supporters. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, said in his message on decoration of the last Friday of Ramadan as World Quds Day, the Imam said, "For many years I have reiterated the danger of the usurper Israeli regime, which has escalated its savage attacks against the Palestinian brothers and sisters these days, and especially in the south of Lebanon, continues bombing the homes and hearts of Palestinians with the aim of destroying their combatants. I call on the Muslim world in general and the Islamic governments to join together to cut the hands of this usurper regime and its supporters. And I invite all world Muslims to choose the last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as World Quds Day. And, in a ceremony, announce the international solidarity of Muslims in support for the legal rights of the Muslim Palestinian people. I ask God Almighty, the Exalted, to make Muslims triumph over the disbelievers." The World Quds Day is the day which we try to direct our spirit in the path of sacrifice for our sisters and brothers. The concurrence of this day, this year, with Nowruz, the spring festival, reminds us that we shouldn't be negligent of great causes, particularly the cause of Palestine. As nature wakes up these days from the winter sleep, it reminds us of refreshing our intentions and motives to support the oppressed. Nowruz and Quds Day join together to say that it is the day of starting a new struggle for achieving freedom and justice. Freedom and justice are not mere aspirations in the mind, but they should be kept in mind while striving to reach them with practical steps. Nature gives us fresh energy to chant the great ideals of mankind. The last Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan is the World Quds Day. We remember the greatest oppression exercised for the past 8 decades, namely the usurpation and occupation of the ancestral lands of the Palestinian people by migrants from various countries. The World Quds Day is a symbol of resistance, steadfastness and unity against oppressors and bullies of the world. It is the day to remind the world that Palestine has been occupied for nearly 8 decades by the Zionists, who consider the whole mankind as semi-humans and rather animals who should serve Jews and then killed wherever they're not needed. On this day, we speak of the oppressed people of Palestine and strongly believe that the Holy Quds will be liberated in the not-too-distant future. Until that day, we will not keep silent. The World Quds Day is a day to chant loudly in support of Palestine and the Palestinians and declare all nations and governments that Muslims and free people will struggle in this way until their last breath. Today is the day to announce clearly and vociferously that there is no option for liberation of Quds and the whole Palestine except through resistance with united ranks.
Thank you.